Discussions with Ajahn Suchin in Gangwajam, Thailand, January 2015. Recorded and edited by Jonathan and Sarah. Speakers include Ken H., PT, Lin, Sukin, John, Sarah, Tam B., Tiny Tam, Tai, Anne, Nina, and other friends.
Would you like to say a little more, Lin?
Actually, every day I'm still attached with self. And that's why I need your reminder about what is a deity and how to eliminate a deity out of our life.
Do you think that you can eliminate deity in this life?
Yeah.
Oh, just
a little. Maybe day by day, maybe a little
yes,
bit.
Yes, but without understanding, can you or anyone do eliminate really deity?
With the understanding.
So, what is the most important in a day?
Listen to
me. Yes, and panya, right understanding, will eliminate, not you, little by little.
Yeah.
So, by understanding a little more about the dharmas we've been discussing, like how it is just visible objects seen now, just seeing, experiencing visible object, and this is the world at this moment. This is the way that there will be less and less ditti, because only visible objects seen, no thing, no person, only seeing, only the experience of seeing which sees it, no one involved at all. So by hearing and considering more about different realities, this is the way that understanding can begin to develop and less conditions for ditti to arise.
Yep. Thank you.
And Tai would like to introduce the topic of Chanda and Virya and tell us about your discussion about these mental factors, I think.
I'm not remember much what we discussed, but though I would like Achan, can you explain or debrief on the difference between intention, effort, and determination? So I think it is Chitana, Virya, and Chanda, right? Yeah. So
are they not now? Are they not now?
At this moment, yes.
And how can there be the understanding of what you said?
How can there be an understanding of what I say or what you say?
About
you mean my experience?
You'd like to understand reality, but how can there be the understanding of that you would like to understand?
Is that the intention or is that the effort?
You mentioned about Chanda and Virya and Chetana.
Yep.
And Ajahn Suchin is saying, if there is no understanding now, if there's no understanding of what is appearing now, how can there be any understanding of whatever we would like to understand, such as this mental factor or that mental factor?
Okay. But also you mentioned that this cittasika that would be accompanied by different moment. For example, when they are seeing, there may be some effort to see or to understand. So, isn't it? It's also accompanied with the current reality.
So, I think that when we study just one word at a time, there can be more and more understanding of that reality as of self. This is the most important, rather than know much about many things just to know or to learn about it. But actually, what is appearing now?
Seeing.
Yeah. Is there any understanding of it at yourself?
No.
So, we learn a little bit more, just to understand that whatever appears now cannot be taken with wrong understanding for I or anything at all.
So just focus on understanding, or just you know, focus on understanding the word, like seeing and hearing, before going to the next level of understanding what Chitana or what...
We can talk more about reality, but with understanding, not just trying to know the characteristic or just want to know. But now there is the idea of self deeply rooted. Even at moment of seeing, there is no ditti arising with it. But actually, the great amount of ignorance and wrong understanding are accumulated. And it's so very difficult to just understand, even from hearing. For example, from hearing, one knows that this moment is that which sees and that which is seen. Even the two, are they accumulated so firm in one's understanding and sanya, that any time whenever there is seeing, it's right understanding of it as not self.
Does that mean I should save it for another time then?
No, actually, this is the answer too, because Ajahn's just trying to indicate that sometimes when we just want to work out this detail or that detail or know this mental factor or that mental factor, it seems like it's kusala effort at that time, but actually it can be actually a clinging to oneself, trying to find the information for oneself to work out, oh, is this right effort or is this wrong effort? So when there is understanding now, understanding of what appears now, there is right effort at that moment already, different from when one's trying to have understanding. So effort arises, virya arises almost every moment, not at moments of seeing and hearing and some other cheetahs without root, but almost every other moment. So usually when it's a kusala, because usually it's with attachment or ignorance. But at moments of kusala, there is wholesome virya there already. So no need to have a extra effort. Any other questions about effort?
I was just going to ask when you say you want to know more about them, do you mean in theory or so what their function is? And yes.
I think like in English, for example, to me, or even sometimes in Vietnamese, this word is like, I don't understand the difference between these words. I think just simply as that. Right.
But still comes to... Then you just want to know theory, or you want to know the Dhamma. Because, and then just now you commented that perhaps you asked about Chetana and other Chetasikas after knowing seeing. There's no rule. It could be that you know seeing, you know Chetana, and then come to know seeing. So no rule, no rule about which one is known first. The point is that while we are focusing on one or two of the this or that Dhamma, this or that Chetasika, we're forgetting that there's reality now to be known. And that's the only way to develop understanding, is just understanding what appears now.
Like the first one you mentioned, Chanda. So Chanda is interest, and it can be kusala or akusala. So now is there interest in studying Dhamma? So this would be at moments of kusala chanda, but when there's interest in checking out the food and the interest with loba, it's akusala chanda. So chanda is interest, very common, different from virya, which is effort, which arises, as I said, almost every moment. So even now, after seeing and hearing and one or two other cheetahs, there must be effort almost at every moment. Virya, energy, different from interest. And the other one you mentioned, Chetana, we discussed a bit in our discussion yesterday, intention or the reality which coordinates the other chaitasikas and chaitas it arises with. So at every moment there is chaitana, even at moment of seeing. The chaitana coordinates the other chaitasikas at that moment.
On this topic generally, Ajahn, we know at a moment of satipatthana that all three of those chaitasikas would arise, but of the three, only effort is given as one of the path factors. Is that for teaching purposes, like that's singled out rather than the others, or is there any other significance in it?
The purpose of teaching is to understand reality as the self. So at moment of thinking about wanting to understand gender, it's a moment of conditioned thinking. Mm. Or it's you who just want to understand gender. Mm. Otherwise, we follow the stream of thinking all the way. Like to hear this or that, or just pay attention to this or that. But is there any moment that when there is such thinking, there can be the understanding? It's conditioned to think, no I, no me at all. And when we talk about satipatthana, it's moment of following, or in reality, it's much closer than what we think about following. It's just like the same as now, seeing and hearing. No one can separate it. So close. So when it's right samadhi that we are talking about satipatthana, it's another level of understanding beyond there can be the idea of it if it hasn't arisen yet. So we have to begin from having the firm foundation, firm confidence of what the Buddha taught about whatever appears now and follow it carefully. Just not forgetting that no self at all. This is the point. Otherwise, we can talk about satipatthana long, long, very long story. But what about this moment, whether there is the moment of realizing that no one at that moment at all. So the most important thing is to understand that actually there is no self and begin with that understanding to follow each word and understand that not self together, even its theoretical states. But even so, if there is no understanding at all, it is I all the way. This is why the Four Noble Truths are very delicate and very subtle.
That makes sense. Hi.
So question, we know that chanda arises also with dosa mulacitta. So can you please explain more about chanda that arises with dosa mulacitta?
If there is no chanda, can there be dosa?
It doesn't appear, so I don't know.
So you don't know the jetasikas which arise with citta. But from learning, one knows that chanda arises with how many cittas?
We know that with the 8 lobha mula cittas and then 2 dosa mula citta.
All other cittas except 20 cittas do not have chanda. Okay. 18 ahetuka citta and 2 moha mula citta. Then we have to follow these two. So the other cittas must have chanda with it, no matter it's lobha or dosa or kusala or anything, even lokottara citta.
So in other words, in order for there to be dosa towards any object, there has to be an interest in that object, the kusala interest, otherwise there wouldn't be any dosa.
Like hearing a very loud voice or loud noise, and so the chanda search for the object which is sound.
There has to be that interest in the sound, okay. Otherwise dosa wouldn't arise.
And can we say that it's the will to do, to have? do not see the danger of akusala, like ignorance. Even we don't know that at moment of dosa, there must be ignorance, right? But we have doubt about, what about dosa citta? It must have ignorance with chanda.
Mm-hmm. But it seems just like chanda, it seems like, not that I am confirming, but it seems like chanda is easier to understand with mula, loba mula citta, and with dosa, it just seems to be less apparent.
Can we say that it is satisfied to have dosa?
No, in other words, not.
Yes.
It seems not, but actually, at the moment of dosa, the reality at that moment must be being satisfied to have it at that very moment. Otherwise, there cannot be condition for dosa if it's not satisfied.
Yeah, it seems to me that there is a zealousness, even more when we're angry, we're really strongly feeling the object or the citta experiences. There's that
very, very
passionate kind of zealous appeal to be angry. It seems to me to be quite strong there. And it seems for me clearer that, well, sometimes, yes, although lobha can be very strong too.
And the stronger the dosa.
The stronger the interest in the object. Of.
Totally, yes, certainly.
Interesting, getting rid of it.
So it can be chanda with lobha and chanda with dosa too.
These mental factors, we have to give a name in English to their function, but often it's only just an approximation. Chanda often translated as interest in, which fits more with lobha than dosa, of course, but it just goes to show how inadequate conventional language is for describing these realities, which are never known until one hears the Dhamma. And I think it's the same with the other factors that we were talking about earlier, intention and chanda and wirya. They all operate on a moment-to-moment basis only.
So I think that just one reality, we can use many words in order to understand it, like chanda. But when we understand chanda as it is, no use to use any language or any word. It can be satisfaction or whatever at that very moment.
Yes. It is also translated as wish to do. And when there is lobha, for instance, lobha by itself cannot get things that it wants, but it needs chanda to get what you want. That is what I got once from the Thai explanation.
So there are many kinds of kusala, so one might have chanta to listen to the teachings, and the other might have chanta in other things. But there can be kusala or akusala.
The important point is the stressing that they are just conditioned dharmas, not my interest or my effort, or just conditioned dharmas that arise when particular conditions are in place and fall away immediately. So no trying to have it or not have it or anything else. Thay is in the hot seat to bring up one of his favorite topics about politics and kusala cheetahs, and special requests from the Vietnamese group for Thai to be in the hot seat. Would you like to introduce any ideas of democracy and kusala? Or?
I'll make it cool. Certainly.
Oh, sorry?
I will make your seat cool.
Or boiling.
No.
Before that, we sometimes had a discussed about that topic, because friends worried a little bit for me about that I'm interested in reading politics and sharing it in Facebook.
Me too. But not Facebook. Yeah.
Because it can be a big problem in Vietnam if you talk about politics. For example,
anywhere, I think.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Cool, cooler.
Yeah, cooler. Because people in Vietnam, if they talk about politics like in deep, so maybe they can be in prison and so on, and they like cannot talk about the human rights and so on.
And who knows, one day Thailand will be like that. Who knows?
Happily, there's no policeman here, so recording is okay.
Please carry on.
Okay, so people are a little bit worried for me about that because it can be a big problem. But sometimes I still sharing the politics like newspaper because I think that sometimes it's good that to let the people know about what is good, what is bad that the government doing. Oh, and maybe I remember the people said that it's useless.
But if it in the right way, isn't it right motivation?
That I'm not very sure. Maybe
when it's right, not wrong, we have to understand whether that's right or wrong. And then when it's right, it's motivated by kusala, for sure. Because you just want everything to be right.
I guess maybe that's what I.
You like the wrong or the right?
I like.
What, you like the wrong or the right? This is the point.
Kusala, like kusala.
So kusala likes the right, not the wrong, right?
That's right. If it's kusala, then it's right.
That's right. It should be considered whether it's right or wrong. When it's right, one can do anything. Because it's right. One doesn't do wrong thing to make it more and more very bad situation.
And what do you mean by right in this context?
Right is kusala, helping the others to be right.
That's a good point.
Cool.
Very cool.
So what we take for politics or anything are realities.
Sorry, I don't understand that point. Like, what are you saying?
No matter what aspect, what situation, politics or not, they are all Dhamma realities. And Panya does not cheat at all. It's just right, straightforward. More?
I hope that someone else in Vietnamese friend that who want to talk with me about that maybe.
Can I add to that? Because you know, I used to listen all the time to the news and especially with all the events going on in Thailand the last couple of years, the reds and the yellows and all this and da-da-da, and get all excited about what the reds are doing, da-da-da. And I said, what am I doing this for? Obviously it's being done with a sense of self. But it's only creating anger. It's dosa. It seems to me that at least the way politics is constituted in most countries, practically everywhere, it's all just dosa arising because of greed. You know, that's all it is. It's just greed. This one wants this, and that one wants that. And it's very rare when they actually do something of a selfless nature, you know, where they're really doing something for somebody else. where there's really dana being done. It's not, it just doesn't exist in the way politics is being run. So I decide there's no point in listening to it and caring about it anymore, because it's just creating a lot more dosa in my mind. Okay? And so forget it. Don't worry about it anymore. Because we can only care about our own mental development rather than worry about theirs, you know. Because their mental they're not mentally developing anything except more dosa and more agusala. So.
John Tonkop, if I can ask. It seems, you know, talking about politics, that it can be a...
You call it politics, but actually it's Dhamma.
Mm. Yeah, I'm interested in what you were saying. And even if it's Dhamma, you can say that. I agree.
Kusala
Dhamma. Yeah. I hear that. I'm wondering, though, that even if it's Kusala Dhamma in terms of politics, sometimes it can really aggravate and upset certain people in power. So it can create all sorts of problems sometimes. So it seems to be a delicate path. I'm being a bit long-winded here. My question would be, it seems that when we say something that's right and true in accordance with Dhamma, it can be upsetting to people.
So is that the point, that you wouldn't say the right thing?
Sometimes that might not be judicious.
Depending on the listeners, too.
Mm.
It, and the time and the place situation, too. It doesn't mean that we can talk like that all the time.
Mm. Mm.
So we learn with the Dhamma that when we talk about kusala and akusala, they refer to moments.
Right.
It's a not story. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I think when we talk about politics, it's a very sensitive field, because then we can be mistaken, taking the story to be kusala, whereas the actual kusala is only the moments of the quality of the citta of each moment.
Like in a day while we are sitting here and listening to the teachings, it doesn't mean that there are kusala cittas all the time.
Yeah. So so back to the 10 bases for kusala, like dana, sila, bhavana, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we
can
should...
Can there not be awareness right now when we are talking about politics?
Sure.
Otherwise, there never be the eradication of wrong understanding at all, if it's not natural by conditions. Right?
Right.
Confidence?
It's difficult to see how discussing politics could involve kusala other than if there's moments of awareness.
Otherwise, one will close the mouth tightly.
And Nina and Anne, what you were saying about naturally, Nina Pocketee. And Anne would like to bring up a topic of Pocketee, because they were listening to the Thai the Foundation, so Nina will introduce us.
Yes, because we talked in Thai, but it is good if we can hear it in English too, that what is a natural Pocketee, and then you make it Pocketee, and that is with wrong view. And we listen to the Thai, but it's very good if we can also hear it in English, because it was not so easy.
It's not easy at all, especially in English, for me. So I try, but you can get what you supposed to understand from my broken English or things like that.
Not broken.
But I think that the development of understanding is so very, very subtle. Because Panya develops from moment to moment. And when it's more subtle, Panya has to be so keen to really see that that's not the way. It's Silapata Pramasa. Because if you think about akusala, like attachment and ignorance, how much it is. So don't expect to realize the truth, the arising and falling away of reality without understanding whatever appears in a day, which is not unknown as not self. For example, right now, if we keep talking about other things, what about seeing now and thinking and every jetasika which arises perform its function with citta, unknown all the time. So I think that even the word natural is so natural. Like now, it has to be just like now. Seeing this right now is natural. Yes. Thinking right now is natural.
Yes. Yes.
If one tries to make it natural, what makes it? See, it's not right understanding. Because when it's the develop right understanding until it is so natural, that it's by the understanding of the no-self, of the characteristic of right awareness, which begins from hearing correctly, developing correctly, until Panya can understand moment when it's not right, even just a little, with sanya vipalasa or ditti vipalasa or citta vipalasa. See, we keep on talking about citta and cetasika, but citta and cetasika with more and more understanding can become apparent with right understanding, no self. So even the right understanding, sammasati, it can be followed by I, very latent, very, very subtle, that no one can recognize it as it's there. That's why Panya has to develop on and on and on with the understanding of no self more and more until all realities in daily life can appear as not self. Before there can be the direct realization of the arising and falling away of Dhamma. Now, it has to be now, natural, naturally.
Yes.
So natural means understanding no self.
Right.
Can you repeat this to Mike?
Natural means understanding anatta.
So what we just talked about are conditioned. No matter it's politics or not, it's conditioned.
Because when it's just Dhamma, then no trying to understand mental factors, no trying to understand seeing or anything, that's when it becomes vocative.
Until right awareness, for example, is natural.
Difficult.
Very, very difficult.
Yeah. And
we had some discussions about breath yesterday afternoon, and PT, our friend from Australia, we've had many discussions with him about breath and samatha, and actually has a good appreciation of just understanding realities naturally in daily life, but still he likes to lie on the bed and follow his breath meditation, and so he's happy to introduce the topic of meditation.
Yeah. May I ask, what's the point of breath meditation?
Speak slowly.
Okay.
Just before I begin, I just like to say thank you to you, and especially to Nina, because I came to this whole group through your books, especially Chetasikas. That's my favorite book ever. So I just wanted to say thank you very much for everything. Okay, so I'll speak about meditation now, because Sarah would like me to explain. And I'm not
Jan
sure if there
would
are...
like you to explain.
Okay.
But I'd like to know the point of...
Well, I think there are several. The first is, it feels good.
Okay. Not right understanding.
Yes. The second is, I think, I'm a bit afraid of right understanding.
See, naturally, but can Panya see that it's Lopa, not the right path? Very natural.
I think for me it feels very natural because I sort of done it always before I even knew what's meditation.
Is it natural now?
Yes, not now, not right now, no.
So what appears now? And what's right understanding of that, which is so natural now?
It's just listening and thinking about what's heard. I guess that is natural, but...
So what do you mean by breath meditation?
Well, I think that's the way Sarah would like to term it. For me, it's it feels good, it feels very peaceful.
Now, can we begin by considering whether it is natural or not?
Yes, sure. I don't know, it's somehow it appears very calm, very quiet.
I just would like to know whether now is it natural, the breath meditation?
I would think for some people it is.
Not for everyone?
Not for everyone, no.
So Dhamma are different?
Yes, people are different, yes.
Dhamma, I mean. Lopa is different for the others?
No, Lopa would be the same.
So breath is not different too?
I think breath, in breath meditation, it's what we imagine to be breath. It's not really breath, it's more...
But what do you mean by meditation? This is the point.
Mental state, perhaps?
Without understanding?
With an understanding, not right understanding, no.
So all samatha bhavana object and vipassana bhavana cannot be done without right awareness and right understanding?
Not vipassana, no. Vipassana needs right understanding.
What about right awareness?
If you mean awareness of dhammas, yes.
It has to be natural.
Yes. But that is my problem, because for me, I don't like, I'm not very happy about Nibbana, or the prospect of
do
Nibbana.
Do you know Nibbana? That you are not happy with Nibbana?
I do not want to go there, that's what I'm sorry.
You don't know Nibbana?
And I don't want to.
Because you don't know.
Okay. I'm afraid that if too much right understanding will sort of take you there.
So, is this right? Is this right? Is this right or wrong?
It's probably wrong, but...
You do not like the right thing.
No, I'm very interested in understanding how the mind works, the mental states.
What for?
It interests me.
For you, not for no akusala anymore.
I don't know. I think it's a lot of time it's
so akusala. It cannot be considered as bhavana or development of anything.
I'm fine with that. It feels good. That's the most important thing. I don't know.
So it's I don't know. That's not the teachings of the Buddha. It can be the other's words, but not the teaching, because each word of his teaching would bring to right understanding. Mm-hmm.
Is it possible... Oh, sorry, John. Is it possible to... develop samatha without right understanding?
We have to understand what samatha is before there can be any development of samatha.
Okay. If we assume that...
No, never. So if it's assumption, it's not the development of anything. Okay. Only assumption.
I don't know if this is related, but you've also expressed the view that you think it's selfish for the enlightened person to become fully enlightened and leave the world without staying around to share the understanding with everyone else.
Yes.
So this is somehow connected to what you're just saying, I think.
Not really, just a moral consideration, but...
So what's the meaning of selfish, of selfishness? Self? Selfish? Selfishness?
Yes.
Concern self. for sure. So who's selfish and who's not selfish?
I think once right understanding develops to a certain degree, there would be no choice. Whatever happened would happen.
As in, that is anatta, the understanding of anatta. So it's not I who select, or I he do, or I he practice, because all conditioned realities only.
And understanding, it's understanding for its own sake, understanding for the sake of understanding, not for self. So if you're enlightened, you're not doing it for self. It's not selfish. How can it be selfish? It's
and
understanding
no regret.
For the sake of understanding.
And, well, here, we have one more.
Sorry.
And back to Ajahn's question about
samatha, because you mentioned that there can be development of samatha without understanding. So her question was, what is samatha?
Okay. I think we need to sort of decide on the terms. If we speak about samatha meditation or samatha as a chetasika, as a particular concentration chetasika, I think concentration is there, is every moment is there.
Samatha is not concentration.
Okay. So if we take samatha as a type of bhavana.
What type? What for?
A type which is not necessarily about dhammas, just about, say, in the time before the Buddha, when there was no teachings about vipassana or right understanding.
Were those people wise enough to develop samatha?
I would think some were, because
some were not.
Some were not, no.
So it's impossible. The foolish one cannot have the development of samatha at all.
So which jetasika?
Samatha. There is calm. I think Pasadi, I think. Pasadi. That's one. I'm interested in what is the type of understanding. So it would be Panya, which is not of the Vipassana kind. It's some. What does it understand in Samatha Bhavana?
Is the Pasati now at moment of understanding?
I think so.
Thinking cannot lead to the development because it's just think or assuming.
It must be because there's calm or pasadi with every kusala citta. So there's understanding must be pasadi.
If that is not known, how can it develop? The pasati.
And so, what does Panya actually know about when it appreciates that there is pasadi? What does it know in samatha bhavana at least?
At moment of understanding, pasadi as not nivarana.
Okay.
So, when we're talking about vipassana, we say we need to understand the difference between when there's sati and when there's no sati. So could we say in terms of the development of samatha, we know the difference when there's calm and when there's no calm?
Only right understanding at that level. It doesn't mean that not knowing anything at all.
At the level of samatha or at the level of vipassana?
Both.
Both.
So right from the very beginning,
if you're talking about development of samatha, if there's not understanding of samatha or how the object conditions calmness, then if it's not known, how can it be developed? Because there's no knowing of the difference between akusala and calmness. No knowing of anything.
Then what is there?
How,
just ignorance and attachment.
Okay. What's confusing me is how would Panya or the Samatha level know Dhammas if it cannot really know them without Vipassana? I don't know if that makes sense. So in Samatha Bhavana, how would you know whether there is calm or whether there is Kusala concentration if you're not yet at the level to be able to know Dhammas directly?
People today thought that they were practicing Samatha, but with the idea of wanting something, not seeing the danger of the experiencing with a sensuous object at all. So those who today who practice Samatha do not see the danger of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, which will bring more and more akusala. Not knowing this, they just want to. So to want and to understand is very different.
There's understanding in the development
of Samatha if there's not been any understanding of reality. So there's understanding what is kusala, what is akusala, but the dhammas, the kusala, akusala, is not understood as anatta if there hasn't been understanding of realities. But it still can know which is the moment of calmness, which is not the moment of calmness.
Okay, yes, that makes sense.
If at this moment there's no understanding of akusala, which follows seeing, hearing, naturally, there is no way to develop samatha.
And you can understand the difference between kusala and akusala even without knowing dhammas directly?
Kusala is dhamma, akusala is dhamma.
But just not understanding the reality.
Self, not understanding the reality is just a conditioned dhamma, but it can still be wise reflection on kusala or akusala.
And understanding the object which will condition kusala better and better.
So can we say that for both vipassana and samatha, the object is the dhamma that are appearing now, but depending on understanding that it can understand what appears now as kusala or akusala or as anatta, right? So actually there cannot be selection, like I'm going to do samatha or I'm going to do vipassana.
Wrong understanding again.
And sorry, you mentioned to consider the object of samatha and how it conditions kusala?
To see the danger of attachment to whatever appears through seeing, hearing, smelling, touching. But no one knows that after seeing what follows, akusala. But those who are very wise must understand it. From seeing, then there is attachment, aversion, and so many, many akusala. By seeing this, panya, right understanding at level of what is the object of calmness, begin to develop.
So you're saying that the object of calmness appears naturally? It's not really selected as
natural.
That?
Like, what are the objects of samatha? It is a sensuous object. See?
Actually, the idea of selection
is an illusion, because actually, like now, no object can be selected now or ever. So it's not like just because there's been no understanding of realities that there can be a self that selects. There's never a self. There's never a selection. There are only ever conditioned cheetahs experiencing their objects, no matter we're talking about politics or samatha or anything else.
Trying to focus on an object, choosing an object with lopa, that goes directly against the practice, I mean the understanding, isn't it? Because even if it's samatha, it does see the danger of lopa. And then you're wanting to have samatha, so that's not going to happen.
And at the beginning,
Ajahn asked you what the purpose of
PT, this is for you. At the beginning, Ajahn asked you what the purpose of meditation was, and you said, okay, number one, feels good, attachment. So how about number two, three, four, five?
We'd like to hear the next one.
Well, I guess the calmness, and but I think I'm probably mistaken then to think it's calmness, maybe it's something else. But again, for me, it's not like I select the breath, it's just, that's the only thing that's left. As when the mind becomes very quiet, the only thing that's left is the breath. And I mean, not the breath as rupa that we talked about yesterday, but just breath as an idea. So it's really just an idea, it's not like I want to focus on it and I chase for it.
Having a cool shower on a hot day, a warm shower on a cold day.
Yes, it is very pleasant, and it sort of happens on its own. It's not like I have to. I don't know how to explain it. It just feels very uplifting. Perhaps it's like a little bit of yoga, except that I'm not doing my exercises with the body, but it's more like, I don't know how to put it.
Do you think it's kusala, or you think it's probably not kusala? That's important. You hope it's kusala. Why would it be kusala? Why would focusing on the breath be kusala?
Yeah. But there is no focusing. I don't focus on the breath. It just sort of happens on its own.
So anyway, the breath becomes the object. So why would the citta be kusala? Because breath is the object.
Well, if there is no other input from the senses, the mind does not follow the senses in an akusala, as Ajahn mentioned, when the akusala follows seeing or hearing and so on.
So you're just assuming that because there's no sense nor object, that it must be kusala.
To a degree.
If we think of dana, sila, bhavana, so why would it be one of those, and not just normal akusala attachment, pleasant feeling with attachment?
Well, there would definitely be moments of attachment, but I would not think they would all be there. It would all be like fully attachment all the time.
Well, is there any appreciation of some moments being with attachment and some without?
Yes. Sometimes it's natural how the mind grabs onto the, for example, the pleasant feeling, and you can know it sort of feels like as if it just grabs onto.
So what kind of kusala is it?
I guess you know what's happening and you're not particularly concerned to follow it, as in you forget about the pleasant feeling, as in you don't chase after
it. So what kind of kusala is it?
Well, you sort of know it's just another occurrence. It's nothing to be too concerned about.
So you're describing a certain level of detachment, is that it?
Perhaps, I don't know. Maybe that's taking it a bit too far. I don't think it's that good.
Far or near.
Ajahn.
Would you talk a little bit about the difference between calmness at the level of kusala and calmness at the level of akusala, and how they can be understood better?
Akusala cannot be calm at all.
I'm speaking conventionally.
Even conventionally. The truth is the truth.
I'm talking about that calm, inverted commas, if I can put it that way, and that people feel at the level of akusala. How...
Pleasant feeling.
Yes, they're both pleasant feeling. They're both, inverted commas, calm.
No.
Well, I'm just trying to convey a concept. And how can that attachment, which is attachment with pleasant feeling,
subtle attachment
with pleasant feeling, or even, subtle or not so subtle, it often appears potentially as kusala. And especially for people who are practicing meditation, for example. So, it's not an easy question to ask, but I'm trying to convey the concept of How do people get confused?
They, not you.
Yeah. How, oh, yes. How can the difference be known? Yes.
The confusion is because of ignorance, not understanding.
Without the study of the Buddha's teaching, can anyone know? That's why we have the teaching set our refuge.
Like when one sits in the pleasant garden and it
seems so calm and pleasant, or one goes for a nice walk and it seems very calm and pleasant, but actually it's just attachment, but it's taken for being calm.
So I think if maybe some in, you know, when people are doing meditation, so-called meditation, there might be some moments of kosala, let's say. But I think that would not be the result of trying to focusing, but that would be the result of realizing previous akusala, the quality of the akusala. Would you agree with that? Yeah. What about you?
I would like to know what moment akusala, while one is practicing meditation.
Sounds very sus.
Well, it's sort of like when you realize that you're not really doing the right thing.
And that is right understanding, not meditation at all.
Yes. But it feels so good, you know.
If kusala and akusala isn't known in normal daily life, it couldn't be known when one is doing a practice.
But what if it's not a practice? What if it just appears, you know, any time?
Yeah, but you tell yourself it's not a practice, but then you're following the breath.
But you're not. It just appears.
No, there must be following. It can't just appear.
There is no focus. It just settles.
Of course there's focus, because one thinks it's a good object to have. Okay. There must be subtle attachment to following the object. Even though you're saying, I'm not going to do a deliberate practice as such, but when I happen to be lying in my bed and it just happens to come at that time, and then one is not aware of what Ajahn calls a hidden motive.
There's the, what we were talking about earlier, there's the chanda, the interest in that object, the virya at that moment, and chetana, all those factors, akusala, chanda, interest in following that, pursuing that object.
And interest might not necessarily be just at the object, it could also be at the mental state. It would still be akusala even then? Okay.
If it's not dana, sila, bhavana, then what is it? Right? I mean, if it's kusala, and what is known? What is the object? When it's breath, what's understood about it? Or the state of mind, what are you talking about? Do you know the characteristic of calm at that moment?
That's why, as I say, unless the characteristic of kusala is known in daily life, then it can't be known in that situation, because breath as object per se doesn't mean kusala, does it? Nope. So in what circumstances would it be kusala to have the breath as object?
I don't know. It's a very subtle object, I think. I think what I have is an idea of breath, not...
In what circumstances would having an idea of breath be kusala?
Having a mental state which is not harming to anybody?
No, but that's the definition of kusala. So you can't say, just because I'm not thinking of harming anyone, it's kusala. It has to then be, would have to be with panya, because otherwise just having breath as object is the same as any other object, in terms of attachment and so on and so forth. It's a story like any other story.
It is at those times,
even though it seems it's natural and the object's just appearing, there is sila bhata paramasa, because there is
the focusing and the interest in that object or on the mental states, there is the subtle trying to catch it and be aware of it. It's there.
And how would you differentiate the difference between interest and appreciation, for example? Like, say, if there is kusala and you appreciate the arising of kusala versus interest in, I guess, obtaining kusala, that would just be lobha then, okay.
Well, it can be like now we're talking about dharmas, there's interest in understanding. It can be kusala, chanda also, but as soon as there's trying to be aware of particular mental states or any trying to have understanding or being aware of visible object, it's akusala chanda, akusala interest with wrong practice conditioned by subtle wrong view at that moment, or not so subtle.
So anytime you want to know what is mindfulness, what is panya, what is perception, for example, is it always a kusala interest? It's only kusala when it appears sort of naturally?
If there's any trying to catch the Dharma, trying to pinpoint, oh, now, is it this, is it that, then it's a kusala for sure.
Like now, when there's interest on understanding the truth, that is kusala.
When kusala arises, what is... So panya knows that it's kusala, but mindfulness, what is the role of mindfulness?
So what is mindful? Not I, but okay. What is it?
I just remember the definition, remembering what's
can
kusala.
Can we say a reality, not I? And it's also conditioned reality too. It doesn't mean that we would like to have it any time and then it arises, not like that.
So I guess then a lot of, how would you say, interest in theory and understanding how the different terms differ in theory would likely mostly be a kusala as well.
One has to be so very honest and truthful to get the meaning of the word of the teachings. Otherwise, one have one's own idea all the time.
You mentioned that to a friend that to give up the wrong view and wrong practice, one has to be very courageous. Would you say a little more about courage?
Yeah.
To be honest, to understand the truth, just that. And in order to understand the truth, it takes a lot of consideration, wisely too. When it's wrong, it's wrong. What is right, it's right. Not because I think that the wrong is right, but listen carefully and consider what is right and what is wrong, what's true and what is not true. Can one just accept what is meditation without study carefully? What is it? And what's the words of the Buddha and what's the words of the others?
Would you say more about in what way breath can be object of understanding, like how in the samatha way, how it can be the object of detachment?
Does breath appear now? So we're talking about what?
When breath does appear,
Pardon?
When breath does appear, then it can be object of understanding.
So what's that? What's what we call breath?
Temperature. Temperature.
Breathing, like, because in you've explained to us about the kasina, earth kasina, how earth can condition detachment when there is wise reflection that everything is just earth. So the question is similar in the same line, that in what way the breath can condition detachment, of even though now...
Does it appear now?
No.
Can it be object of attachment when it does not appear? Can it be object of right understanding when it does not appear?
No.
So only when it appears.
Mm-hmm.
So usually, does it appear? Is that breath? Is that?
Or the appears is trying to
that
make
that
happen.
That is not breath at all. That is not. We call something breath, where one say breathing in and breathing out, but is that breath?
So that means that it's very particular to those who have the accumulations for that to appear naturally, right?
Right understanding can see what is breath and what is not.
But I think Sundara was asking, for instance, there can be a sensation of heat.
Is that breath?
And why not?
Why it is?
It's a reality, not a concept.
Oh no, because breath is rupa. So
yeah, but we have to consider
experienced as heat.
What condition breath?
It's chitta.
Yes, while one is fast asleep, does chitta condition breath too?
Yes.
Can it be known?
Not while fast asleep.
And when one wakes up, there is breath too. Is it known?
It's not.
So, when does it appear as breath?
When it appears. I think now we're not talking, Zita, we're not talking about the actual kalapa that is conditioned by chitta, but what is normally taken for breath is hardness, softness, heat, cold, motion, pressure that happens.
But why you call it breath then?
Okay, it's not breath.
Only when it appears to right understanding exactly, then you would know that it's breath. But when you are breathing in and out, is that breath conditioned by chitta?
So I suppose it begs the question, Ajahn, how does breath appear to right understanding?
Is it subtle or is it coarse?
Well, I'd imagine
like
it would be
any
subtle.
Moment of hardness and softness, heat and cold appear. Much different.
Mm.
Five sense door as well as the mind.
That's why for samatha, not reality is the object, but the nimitta is the object, even breath. And when it's the object of panya, for those who have accumulated conditions for breath to appear, not by selection, no choice. But right understanding is there.
What's nimitta? What do you mean by nimitta here? The nimitta of breath?
Rupa nimitta, vedana nimitta, sanya nimitta, sankara nimitta, vinyana nimitta.
Mm-hmm.
All nimittas.
So rupa nimitta would be in the nimitta of hardness, softness, nimitta
mm-hmm.
of heat,
yeah.
cold, nimitta
uh-huh.
of...
Yeah.
So that was my question.
Mm-hmm.
So
that
when
is nimitta.
When sometimes if the nimitta arises...
Mm-hmm.
Is experienced. It can be known at any time for some people if it appears.
You mean breath or just ordinary hardness, softness.
The nimitta, which you were just now referring to.
Now all nimittas appearing. Because the arising, the succession of the arising and falling away so very rapidly, what is known is only nimitta.
Right, so does breath as object of samatha...
Mm-hmm. Must be nimitta.
It's nimitta.
Not the reality of breath.
Right. So even when it's the development of samatha, it's the nimitta of the patavi dhatu.
What you call breath, dhati. But actually, is it breath? Who knows when it's not vipassana?
Oh, we don't know. It, no, if it's not vipassana, so then it's that, not the actual breath.
So you take that particular hardness, softness of heat and cold as breath.
Yes.
By
yes.
Yourself.
Yes. Yes. And that's what I mean at that level.
That's the meaning of nimitta.
Yeah. Yeah. At that level. So my question would be the answer to my question would be that it can it and that nimitta can arise for anyone anytime.
And you take that for breath. Well, actually, breath
but
does
it's
not
just
appear.
Yeah. Right okay. Now. Just don't mistake it for breath or associate with the idea of breath, mm-hmm. but it's hardness or softness, like heat, cold, motion, hardness. Pressure. Yeah.
Ta object, is it just the idea of breath or is it breath itself?
Well, like now, for example, some softness or hardness, it may be taken for the breath, so it can be the sign of that. So because like now, if there's no understanding of what is the very, very subtle one, which is the breath, only those who had developed very high degree of understanding, like the Buddha's disciples, could actually discern which was the one which is really the breath, rupa, conditioned by citta. So then for them it was the nimitta of that particular one. But for others, if it's not known, then mm-hmm. it can be any hardness or softness can be taken for being breath. But actually it's not breath.
Okay, thank you.
But even if that would appear, that nimitta of breath, what would make it kusala then? I mean, what would make that moment of its appearance kusala?
That's the point. So if there's no understanding of what kusala is or what calmness is or how that object can condition calmness, then it's not kusala. It's just focusing on that object with attachment because it's not known how that object can condition calm. That's why it's said that breath as an object is only for Mahapurusa, etc. Because first of all, the breath itself is not known, it doesn't appear, and it's not understood how it can condition calm anyway. So for people today who just focus on some hardness or softness and call it breath, actually nothing to do with breath and no understanding of kusala, it's just concentrating, a kusala concentrating, wanting to get something.
And kusala concentration can still produce a lot of pleasant feeling and pity and all that? It can?
What is kusala concentration?
Sorry, I meant akusala concentration. So not kusala.
Right.
It can still produce pleasant feeling and
pleasant
pity?
Pleasant feeling, a lot of pity, but akusala, pleasant
yes.
feeling, akusala piti, what is taken for calm but is actually pleasant feeling of piti can feel so joyful, so happy.
So that is why akusala. So that is why it's so easy to confuse the two. Okay.
Same pleasant feeling, piti, but all akusala.
At that time, Lopa is the teacher. Lopa is the teacher at that time.
And the habit, the focusing on that object, it's the opposite of what we would mentioning in our discussion about Upanisya Gotra, when the reality, like seeing or visible object, it becomes a habit to understand more and more about the reality that appears. In this case,
the habit becomes more and more focusing on that object because there's so much pleasant feeling and joy. And so actually one's following the wrong path further and further away from the right path, further and further away from understanding reality that appears now with detachment and as not self.
Breath is jitta charupa. And without breath, without jitta, there is no breath, there is no life. What about jivit indriya? It's not breath.
You mean the rupa or the nama?
Well, both.
Because, no, the nama cannot be the rupa.
No, that's right. But, okay, what about the rupa then?
It must be conditioned by kamma only.
By kamma only.
Otherwise, there's no jivit the rupa.
Okay. Okay.
Does that mean that breath is conditioned by citta as well as kamma at the same time?
Kamma does not produce breath at all.
So there's no jivit indriya in those rupas which are produced by citta. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm sorry,
No, there's no jivit indriya in those rupas conditioned by citta.
Okay. Different kalapas cannot be in the same one.
And Nina mentioned in Thai the sutta that was discussed the other day was the Jara Sutta, and there was discussion about jivitindriya rupas. What was the discussion of the jivitindriya rupas in connection with the Jara Sutta, which is the sutta about decay, old age and death?
It was explained that there is no being, ni sata in Pali, and ni jiva. Well, you can translate it as no soul.
Right, so yeah. When there's no life, no jivitindriya rupa, just this.
Yes. But there is rupa jivitindriya and nama jivitindriya. And rupa jivitindriya. Well, all the conditions for rupa of the body are conditioned by karma, citta, food, nutrition,
temperature.
So the units of the body, the kalapas, which are conditioned by kamma, have jivitindriya. So each group has to be at least 9 or more containing jivitindriya always.
Yesterday with Paina with regard to breath. So as Nina just said, when jivitindriya, there have to be the 8 indivisibles and jivitindriya. But when we're talking about breath conditioned by citta, actually it's just bio-dhatu or another rupa in the kalapa. So it seems that there are just the 8 indivisibles. And Paina mentioned that in the Visuddhimagga, it mentions there are always at least 9, always a nonad, but she'd heard you talk about only 8. Is that correct?
You don't have what I said quite correct. I found a reference to that kind of kalapa only in relation to some of the, and not specifically which one, 32 types body parts, which did not include breath, but relation to anything that was with reference to breath.
Yeah. No matter we would talk about here and there of breath or sound, we better think about the reality of what it is in one kalapa. For example, let's talk about the kalapa conditioned by citta from 1 to 2nd and on. The suttataka kalapa is mentioned, right? The 8 indivisible rupa conditioned by citta is mentioned too, right?
Yes, it's correct. Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't found it.
not talking specifically about breath or anything,
just talking about citta rupas, groups of kalapas conditioned by citta.
Well,
What I'm asking, because I haven't found that, so I can't say yes to that because I haven't found it.
Some units of the body.
Abhidhamma Matasankaha, I think. You can find it.
Okay.
I have found it with reference to the other...
To some of the 32 parts of the body, but that does not include breath. 32 parts of the body does not include breath, as named in, say, the Rahulovada Sutta. But it's named in the next 10, which is therefore explained as Jitaja Rupa, with the ninth one being sound.
But what it does say, for example, in Abhidhamma Sangaha, there's 75 chittas that condition rupas, so condition groups. So apart from the seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, almost every other chitta conditions rupas at every moment. And breath is conditioned at almost... So breath is conditioned at almost every moment. So
by chitta.
But I mean, I'm just saying that almost every chitta in the day, after seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, even the Bhavanga chittas condition breath, condition rupas, condition groups of rupas. So I don't think it can be said that all these groups would contain sound. That would be my way of understanding it.
Well, my way of understanding was that it could contain sound, sorry. Like the rupa dhatus, which are heat or motion or anything else, there's a range. It's either very hard or it can be less hard. And so sound, we know that dogs can hear things we can't hear, so it doesn't mean that every sound produced is something we as a human can hear. So I think every jitaja rupa with sound could be breath, and we need not have a consciousness of it, or we may not experience it. But I'm trying to see if, and you're pointing me to the Abhidhamma Dhammata Sangaha, if I understand that there it might be explained. So I haven't read that yet.
So if one says that every chitta during the day, apart from seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, even in deep sleep, almost every chitta conditions breath. So chittas, chittaja rupas, including breath, that would mean that almost every chitta in the day conditions not only the octad, but the nonad with sound. And
it would, yes, I don't see why that's a problem.
So, Sarah, that means when you're in the water, that time also there's breath, right? Okay, and I think that shows that how little breath is known.
And deep sleep.
And this is another subject. Yesterday, we had with Anne a conversation about about nimitta, and we found that we can never hear enough about nimitta.
But just before that, I'd just like to, so on the kalapa with sound, so your understanding, Ajahn, would be sometimes though some of those kalapas include sound and some don't. Would that be right?
I think that in order to understand reality, since our understanding is limited, we should understand from the very beginning, just talk about rupa and conditions for the rupas arising. Let's talk about the rupas which are conditioned by citta only, not by kama or anything else. Can citta condition the rupa, the 8 indivisible rupa alone?
Yes.
Yes, okay. We don't know when, or ordinary. For example, apart from the 10 jittas, each jitta conditioned rupa, right? knowing or unknowing. It doesn't matter. But sense citta, which are not those 10, produce citta charupa, right? By conditions, not by our will or anyone's will at all. So there must be the 8 indivisible rupa conditioned by citta, usual, ordinary, even while one is fast asleep. Or even right now, while one is not fast asleep, there must be the rupa, the 8 indivisible. We don't call it breath or anything at all. Just that, the 8 indivisible rupa. And the sound can be produced by what? Sound right now can be produced by what?
Temperature or citta.
Only 2, right? Kamma cannot and ahara cannot.
Actually, it must be at least the 8. So,
and
jivitindriya, so must be 10.
Not jivitindriya.
Oh no, not karma. Just 8 plus the sun. Oh, vajivinyati.
Yeah, that's why from 8, then there is 9, and then 10, 11, 12, right? 18 groups of citta conditioned by. Rupa conditioned by citta. So now we come to the first one. And the second one, we don't talk much about other breath or so on, just 8 and then 9. So what are the 9 rupas in a kalapa which is produced by citta?
The 8 indivisible rupas plus sound.
No. According to some place, somewhere in Tipitaka and commentary. Let's follow that, and then we can add other subject.
What about the 8 indivisible and kaya vinyati?
That's it.
Must be.
9, only 9, right?
No sound.
And then anakru, 10 rupa. What are the 10 conditioned by citta?
Vajivinyati and sound. The 8 indivisible. Vajivinyati plus sound.
Right now, in order to understand the sound right now, conditioned by citta, it needs vajivinyati, rupa. Otherwise, cannot be sound. Right?
Yes.
How many? 8, 9, 10, 11. Vinyati. Not now. We are talking just 1 kalapa and then 8, 9, 10. So now everyone understand 8 rupa conditioned by citta and 9 conditioned by citta and 10 conditioned by citta. Because without the vajivinyati, there cannot be sound. At this moment of talking, it's conditioned by kalapa, which is conditioned by citta. So there must be vajivinyati and sound. Actually, there must be thinking, which condition the way the sound is pronounced, the voice box or what you call it, and then the sound. There must be the vajivinyati. There can be a moment of thinking without talking, speaking at all. But at moment of speaking or whatever sound is conditioned by citta, there must be vajivinyati and sound.
Okay. So, can one say the nonad with the kaya vinyati conditioned by citta is actually very common because, like even now, just sitting or even moving or even in sleep, the citta's condition, the kaya vinyati, but for the vajivinyati, unless there is actually the speech, no vajivinyati.
So, actually, what is kaya vinyati?
It's the rupa, the intimation, the bodily intimation.
But when you are asleep, there is no kaya vinyati, because it's not deliberate.
Is that right?
So what jitta's condition, kaya vinyati? We have to go on to the jitta which can produce kaya vinyati. Not
want to convey something even for yourself.
Must be chavana jitta, kusla or akusla. See. Not vipaka.
No, not vipaka.
And also votapana.
Not in detail.
32.
Not in detail, just...
Anyway, the karma watcher of jhavana, kusala, and akusala, chitta's condition.
Yeah, that is clear, yeah.
Including manodavara vajana.
But not the upper... No?
Adding more and more.
We can just say kusala
kusala chitas. And manodavara. Okay.
More details.
No. Yeah. And how many kalapas now? The 8, the 9, the 10, and the 11. Yes, which one?
The 3 virati.
Virati.
Three vikara, not three, the lahuta and mututa kaya kamanyata, right now just move, that is 11.
But what I wonder is, can there be kaya vira, vinyati without those three kalapa, three rupas arising together with
later
them?
On? Now we come to.
Well.
8, 9, 10, 11. 12. What are the 12
would be the 8 indivisible, the 3 vikara and kaya vinyati. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The 12 is the 8 indivisibles, the 3 vikara rupas, lahuta and so on, and kaya vinyati. And then 13 would be the...
Example, please, for the 12.
That's an example.
With vikara?
Yes, yes. There must be.
So, how many rupas?
12.
When you'd like to have the other know, or you have intention to move in a particular manner.
So this is when it's really conveying a meaning, but the first lot when
or
it's...
when you would like it to be, no matter who knows or not.
Like when you move in your sleep.
Well, this is exactly, this is why even in sleep...
can be...
Even in sleep?
Like when dreaming, you can there can be motions or movements conditioned by chitta.
Kaya vinyati?
Yeah.
For me, very difficult to understand that.
Why?
Vikara with 8 all the time, when you move.
Kaya with 8 whenever there's movement. Whenever there's any movement, like any...
I mean, the 8 indivisible and the 3 vikara can condition the movement of the body. Yeah.
But not kaya vinyati then, and you sleep.
Do... mean to sleep, to move?
Yeah, when you move in your sleep,
yeah.
No intention to...
So without kaya vinyati, but with
no
vikara.
No kaya vinyati. Yeah, right, right.
With,
yeah.
With well, there can be intention even when...
You like in your sleep.
In your sleep, no. No. I don't think so.
Example of the 8 inseparables plus 3 vikara is...
You dream that you are walking, but is there any walking in your dream?
No.
Some people do, but no. So dreaming about walking, okay.
No. Vinyati.
Okay.
When dreaming and there is
actually movement and then...
Because you see that the vikara can be conditioned by citta or utu or ahara, not always citta.
So are you saying that while dreaming there cannot be any...
I have vinyati.
With intention to have meaning, some meaning or...
I don't think so.
So it's only speculation. But we are talking about the possibility.
And then with the 12, it's the 8 indivisibles, 3 vikara and Gaya Vinyati. That is intentional movement.
Right. When dreaming,
it seems like some people move a lot or gestures, but this is just the 3 vikara. No.
Because we have to think about vikara conditioned by utu and ahara, so it's like doing something like that unintentionally. Yeah.
A little bit like my friend in a coma, some movements, and people think, oh yes, she's indicating, but it can just be from the vikara.
Utu or ahara, and citta, we don't know at that moment.